You know, as we go through our lives, especially here in South Florida, storms are inevitable, aren't they? When you live in South Florida, sometimes you just come to expect them. And you come to expect them even when you're not expecting them. You've just come to expect that they're going to happen. When you're in South Florida, there's some storms that you can almost set your watch to. You know, summertime about 3 o'clock, you know what's going to be happening 3 o'clock in this afternoon in summertime? Well, you're going to get an afternoon storm just about, you know, almost every day. It's some things that you can anticipate and expect that they're going to happen. But then there's those kind of storms that are unexpected, that you can't really plan for. And it's folks who live out in Oklahoma, especially, that know those kind of storms, those tornadoes that come through, that very little warning about those. Of course, here we get the major storms where we get to watch them coming for multiple days and days and days and days. And we check the 5 o'clock update, and we check the 11 o'clock update. And those who are really just diehard, they check the intermediate updates and see what, you know, these storms, whether they're expected or they're unexpected, and whether it's something we watch closely or not, they're a part of life. But there's another kind of storm that we face that is also a part of life. And it's those storms of life that we might call them. Not storms of weather, but just storms of life that occur, that no matter who we are, no matter what part of the country we live in, no matter whether it's summer or winter or what part of the year it is, no matter what the atmospheric conditions are, there are certain storms that all of us are going to face at some point in our life. And so what I want us to do tonight is to simply ask the question, why? Why do those kind of storms even have to exist? When you start thinking about the fact that there's storms, what kind of storms are we talking about? Well, for some of us, there's going to be some physical storms. Maybe it's something to do with our health, that all of a sudden we didn't realize it was coming, but some storm has come into our life or into our husband's life, our wife's life, our children's life, and all of a sudden our world has changed because of some physical condition, because of some health condition. It may be some sort of relational storm, that's maybe there's something that's going on in relationships that, you know, that we didn't expect. And all of a sudden there's some kind of strife, and we're trying to figure out, how are we going to make it through this? And sometimes that's within a marriage. Sometimes those storms are between a husband and a wife, and they live inside of a storm in their relationship, in their home, and they're trying to figure out, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to endure this storm? There are all sorts of storms. Sometimes they're financial storms, where 2008, and you have a market crash, and you have people losing their jobs, and they're trying to figure out, how am I going to make it? It doesn't have to be a market crash. A financial storm can come at any time in your life, and you try to think, what did I do to deserve this, and how am I going to make it through this? And you go through all of these kind of storms, and sometimes these material storms, sometimes these health storms, sometimes these emotional storms, they take a spiritual toll on us, and they can become a spiritual storm, racking our faith, as it were, in our lives. And so tonight we want to ask the question, why do these storms come? We know they're going to come. We look around and we say, there's individuals we know that are going through storms. Maybe at some point in your past you've been in one of these storms that we've talked about tonight. Maybe you're in the midst of one right now. But something we know for sure is that, well, in all likelihood, we're going to face some storm at some point in our life. Why do these things happen? I don't know if you remember the story about Gideon back in Judges chapter 6. The angel of the Lord came to Gideon. Remember what the first thing the angel, I think it was the first thing the angel of the Lord said to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, about 11, verses 11 or 12. The angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you, O man of valor." Remember what was going on with the Midianites right then? Remember how the Midianites were oppressing God's people to where Gideon is hiding out? And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, the Lord is with you, O man of valor. And you remember what Gideon said? if the Lord is with us, then why are all of these things happening to us? You ever felt that way? If the Lord is with us, why are we going through these storms? And sometimes that's the question that other people, not Christians, will poke at you. If you believe in God, why is all of this bad stuff happening? If you believe in a God who is all-powerful, and you do, if you believe in a God who's all-powerful, why is all this bad stuff happening? Isn't He powerful enough to do something about it? If you believe in a God who is all-knowing, shouldn't He know about this already? Shouldn't He have seen this coming already? Shouldn't He know how to take care of this? Your God must not be all-powerful if this stuff is happening. He must not be all-knowing if these storms are in your life. And if your God is really all-loving, and you say that He is, He's an omnibenevolent, all-loving God. If He is, why is all of this bad stuff happening? Maybe He doesn't really love you the way that you think He loves you, and people will poke that at you and say, "Where is your God?" You ever had somebody do that? If you haven't, you will. How do you deal with that? How do we answer the question, why do these storms of life exist? Well, there's no way in the hour and a half sermon tonight that we will be able, okay, we'll cut it down to an hour and 20 minutes, that we will be able to sufficient, hour and 15, that we will be able to sufficiently deal, hour and 10, that deal with this question. Let me encourage you. Don't get on the internet and just look up anything on this. You will get all sorts of junk you don't need. You'll get all sorts of, you try to figure out the answer to this question and you go Google this question, you're going to get all sorts of garbage that will destroy your faith. Don't go and just Google anything. If you want to go somewhere and ask these questions and look them up, go to Apologetics Press. Order Dave Miller's book, Why People Suffer, and get into this study and try to. But what I want to do is just try to capture some of this in a very simplistic form. We're going to look at this from two vantage points tonight. Why do these storms of life exist? Number one vantage point is, what's the cause? What are the causes of these storms that come about? And we're not going to be able to exhaust this list in its entirety. But I don't know if I want to say this sentence, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you don't hear anything else tonight, you love it when preachers say that. If you don't get anything else out of this tonight, what is the cause of these storms? Listen to me. It is not, you listening? It is not God. That is not, He is not the cause of these storms. What do we do sometimes? What do other people do sometimes? They take their finger out and they start shaking it at God and say, "Why are you doing this to me?" Can we get into the Bible and let the Bible teach us that it's not God who's doing this to us? It's not God who is bringing all of this calamity in your life. Well, if that's not it, where is it coming from? First thing I want us to see is that ultimately storms in life are the result of free will that God has given to us. God gave you free will. It was an act of His love that He gave you free will. Now, He could have programmed you as a robot. He could have removed and never given you free will at all and just programmed you as a robot to do things a certain way, go through life in a certain way, and removed all of your personal willpower completely. He could have done that. But instead, He imparted unto you a free will as an act of and as a gesture of His love to give you the right to make your own choices. Are you glad that God did that? Are you glad God allows you to have a free will? Now, maybe sometimes we wish He wouldn't. Maybe sometimes you wish your husband or your wife didn't have free will. Maybe sometimes you wish your children didn't have free will. Maybe there are times where you wish certain others didn't have free will. But if we want to just start this out in a general way, why is it that all of this suffering, why is it that all of these storms exist? It's because God has allowed free will. I'm going to say this a little bit differently in just a minute again, and you might think I'm repeating it, but I'm not. But he gave us a freedom of choice, and when, by God giving us a freedom of choice, it necessitates the ability for us to make wrong choices, doesn't it? If he gives you the freedom to make a choice, well, what does that involve? The ability to make a wrong choice. Well, what happens if you make a wrong choice? You're going to deal with the consequences of that wrong choice. So by God giving us freedom, free will to make choices, he gave us the ability to make wrong choices. And by giving us the ability to make wrong choices, we can and will suffer the consequences of those choices. Do we get that? You want to understand where suffering, where storms come from? It comes from the free will. Now, I know what some people are thinking. I know what some people say. But I didn't choose this. I didn't make this choice. I didn't. And if I had the ability to choose, I never would have asked for this storm in my life. Well, let's develop this. Let's develop this a little bit closer. You got free will. Ultimately, everybody has that. But if we want to get down to it practically and specifically, it is that God gave everybody the ability to make personal choices, including you. Sometimes we deal with storms in life because of our own personal choices. Have you ever suffered something in life because you said something you shouldn't have said, and you had to deal with the consequences of it? You ever wish you could take those words back? Just click the reverse button and just rewind button and just take that puppy back and have a redo. Ever wish you could do that? Well, you can't do that. And so something has been said now, or something has been done, and as a result of those personal choices, all of a sudden we're dealing with consequences. Now, sometimes that's not always a sin. Sometimes it's just a choice that we make. And we have to go on and deal with whatever consequences come from that. But is it possible for us to learn from wrong choices? What if God never allowed us to make a wrong choice and suffer the consequences of it? What would we learn? Would we learn how to do better? Would we learn how to do what's right? Unless we were just programmed to do that? Parents, have you ever allowed your children to make a choice that you knew was not the best choice to be made? But because they have freedom, make their own choices, you look down the road and you think, this isn't going to be the best choice, but maybe they just need to learn it at this point in their life. Now, I'm not talking about whether it's good for a two-year-old to stick his finger in a light socket. Well, we'll just let him figure out whether that's a good idea or not. We're not talking about that kind of a choice. But you know the kind of choice I'm talking about. As your children get older, They need to draw a line between a choice and a consequence that comes from that choice. If they can't make the connection between, wow, I'm dealing with the consequences of something that I've done, if they never learn that, there's going to be some big problems down the road. They've got to learn that connection. Guess what? God wants us to learn that connection. That there's a direct connection between choices that I make and the consequences that I deal with that. What if I go out and drink alcohol? Is it possible I might suffer some consequences for making that choice? What if I go out and have promiscuous sex? What if I go out and just have sex with anybody that I choose to? Is it possible I might suffer some consequences from that particular activity? Because of some choice that I have made, what if we just got into a new year, and as you start to get your tax information together, what if you decide, wow, I don't really want to pay the IRS that much. I think I'll just kind of change some numbers here. Over. Oh, it looks like I don't owe as much now. Okay, that's better. And you submit something that's been falsified. And you suffer. Will you suffer consequences for that? Because of some choice that you've made to cheat on your taxes? What if you lie to your boss? Are you going to suffer some consequences for that? But again, it doesn't have to be some sin. What if you're in a hurry to get somewhere and you make a turn in front of somebody without yielding the right of way, or you're not waiting long enough at that intersection, you turn in front of somebody and they hit you, you cause an accident. Maybe you didn't sin in the activity, but it was just a choice you made, and now you're dealing with consequences. Where do these storms come from? Sometimes they come from things that I do. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the very next statement says, God delivered them over into the hands of the Midianites. There was a direct correlation between the choice that they made and what they suffered as a result of it. Now, again, somebody says, but I didn't choose this. What I'm going through right now in my family is not something based upon some choice that we made. And sometimes that's true. Because some storms come because of other people's choices. Sometimes storms come in our life not because of some choice that we have made, but because of some choice that somebody else has made. Now think about it. Do we ever benefit? Are we ever on the receiving end of something good based upon some choice that somebody else has made? Well, sure. And we don't complain about that, do we? You know, I benefit from something that somebody else did, and wow, this is great. I'm glad they did that. Well, at the same time, could somebody else make another choice that has a negative impact on me, and all of a sudden I'm suffering consequences for that? That happens. And our God, who's no respecter of persons, allows those choices to be made. Go back to that illustration. Suppose somebody else goes out and gets drunk and gets behind the wheel. Can that person, by the choices that they have made, bring negative consequences in the life of somebody else? Can they bring suffering and storms into somebody else's life who didn't do anything to deserve it? Who did not deserve any bit of what happened, but all of a sudden, because of the choices that somebody else made. You look at what's happening in some families today and how children are being neglected. And here's child neglect where some child is suffering. What did that child do to deserve it? Not a single thing. But because of the choices of parents or those who are in authority, all of a sudden there are things that are negative things that are happening in the life of that child. You think about some of these shootings that are happening. Innocent people are suffering. What did they do to deserve it? Not a thing. But because of the choice that somebody else made. And hear me, God did not stop somebody from doing something good and you benefited from something good that somebody did. Now somebody comes along and does something that's bad, and we deal with those consequences just the same. Remember what Judas did? What is Judas known for? One thing. He betrayed Jesus. Did anybody suffer as a result of Judas's actions? Somebody got nailed to a cross because one man walked up to him and kissed him on the cheek. One action led to another. Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit. Did they do that on accident or on purpose? Did they just accidentally throw him down in there? They picked him up and sold him into slavery. Did they do that on accident or did they do that on purpose? Well, they didn't accidentally get money for him. That was on purpose. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, what did Joseph say to his brothers? You meant it for evil. I know you did this and you meant it for evil. And so did Joseph suffer consequences? Yeah. He becomes a slave. He goes from favored son to being a slave in Egypt. You talk about a change of events. You talk about storms of life. Here he is, no more coat of many colors. Now he's a prisoner. Why? What did he do to deserve it? Not a single thing. Choices that others made led to that storm in his life. And we are going to suffer in this life based upon what other people choose to do, and there's very little that we can do about it. So suffering comes about because of personal choices. because of other people's choices, but somebody still says, yeah, but that still doesn't apply to me. That still doesn't apply to what we're dealing with. I'm not having chemo treatments. I'm not having radiation treatments. I'm not having surgery because of choices that I have made. And I'm not having surgery because of some choice that my neighbor made. So why am I going through this? Well, because some suffering, some storms are because of choices that people have made in the past. What do I mean by that? Look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. If you've got your Bibles open in Romans chapter 5 and the passage that was read. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve sinning. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, through one man, Adam, that's who that's talking about, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus, death spread to all. Wait a minute. What did I do to deserve this? What? Here's the world suffering from the consequences of Adam and Eve sinning. Now, hang on a second. Do we benefit in a positive way? Do we benefit from the choices that people have made in the past? Did anybody come here in a car? Can we look back in the past and see somebody inventing the automobile? Are we beneficiaries of things that they did in the past? Here we are sitting under lights. Thank you, Mr. Edison, for figuring that one out for us. We are beneficiaries. And Scott, I don't know who invented the air conditioner, but thanks be to God for the guy who invented the air conditioner. Here we are, beneficiaries. We are on the good receiving end of just choices and things that people did in the past, and we don't get upset about that. But what about things that people did in the past that were not so good? Can we still be dealing with those consequences? Well, here is case in point in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, that because of this sin that they had committed, it unleashed disease and death upon mankind. You remember Romans chapter 1? You might look in Romans chapter 1. If you're in Romans chapter 5, it's in the neighborhood. When you go back to Romans chapter 1, you remember where it talked about these individuals that God was giving over, Romans chapter 1, verse 21, verse 24, Romans 1, verse 24 says, God gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to impurities. Well, why would he do that? Because that's where their hearts were. He gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Guess what? They're making choices. Based upon their choices, God is saying, well, go ahead and do this. I gave you freedom of will to make those choices. And so verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. For this reason, verse 26, remember these verses, 26 and 27? For this reason, verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions. You think there'll be any consequences for vile passions? For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing homosexuality, he says, what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. What's that talking about? There were consequences for their activity. And the consequences of their activity brought disease upon their body because they're doing something that God did not create and it's unnatural. It brought about disease that not only infected them, but it was going to impart and go even unto others. Why are we dealing with some of these diseases today? Because men in the past have made choices. How many diseases were there in the Garden of Eden? Go back and read Genesis chapter 1. Let's see. Did God make disease on day 1? You remember what He made on day 1. Did God make disease on day 2? Let's see. Did God make disease on day 3? Which day was it? Did God make disease on day 4? That wasn't it. Did God make disease on day 5? Fish and fowl and disease. It's not even starting with the right letter. Fish and fowl. Nope. That's okay. Day 6. That was the day God made disease, right? Nope. Not there. Day 7. Oh, we're done with creation. Which day did he make disease? It wasn't there. Well, if it wasn't there, where did it come from? It came as a result of man's activity. Did God create death? Was there death on day one, day two, three, four, five, six? Where did death come from? You want to talk about something worse than disease, talk about death. Why do we have cemeteries today? Why do we have funerals today? Because that's what God wanted? No. Because of man's actions. And by man bringing sin into the world, by man disobeying God, he brought sin into the world, and the wages of sin, what's that next word? Is death. Where does all this come from? It comes from choices that man has made in the past. Genesis chapter 6. You read anything about sin in Genesis chapter 6? We read about it in Genesis chapter 3. You read anything about sin in Genesis chapter 6? You read about such horrible, vile, and prevalent sin throughout the whole world that what did God decide to do in Genesis chapter 6? Flood, hear this, the entire earth. That wasn't some localized flood. That was a global flood that flooded the entire earth. Well, what's the big deal about that? That flood changed the complete makeup of this earth. It wasn't just that the water was there for a half a day and then it disappeared, but the water was on the earth for months and months and months. And what is that going to do anything? It completely changed the geophysical makeup of the earth. It completely changed the atmospheric conditions of the earth. It completely changed when you start looking at the earth from the standpoint of its climate and of its structure. It changed it completely. Why would that matter? You heard of earthquakes before? Heard of hurricanes before? Where are all of these natural disasters coming from? These natural disasters are coming as a result of the global flood. Why did the global flood come? Because of sin. You may think that's a simplified explanation, but that's a biblical explanation. It says everything that we are dealing with today, and it's not something that we like to talk about, but it can be traced back to the choices that men have made in the past. And somebody says, that's not fair. I didn't make those choices. And that's right. It's not fair. But perhaps we are here today to deal with them in such a way to reflect on our own mortality, to reflect on our greater need for God. What if you never had a storm in your life? What if you lived your life and nothing bad ever happened? You made all the money you ever needed and you never lost a cent. You had the perfect job you always wanted and you never lost your job. What if you went through life and you never had a health problem? You never had a single cold. Never, ever, ever did you get a cold. It was just the perfect life all over. Would you need God? Well, I don't need God for anything. Everything's hunky-dory with me. I'm just fine, and I'm going through life. What would ever make me think that I need God? Maybe we have these things in order to help, and we'll talk about that more in just a minute, but maybe to help point us toward God. Let me just briefly mention that if we want one additional reason, occasionally the storms that we have in life are the result of natural laws. Luke chapter 13 and verse 4 talks about the Tower of Siloam that fell and killed 18 people. What did those 18 people do? Did they pray that that tower might fall upon them? There, you go back and you read the book of Job. You remember what happened to Job's children? What did they do to deserve? All of them deserved to die in that tragic event. Sometimes, as with this tower falling in Luke chapter 13, sometimes it just has to do with natural laws. Newton's first law of motion. What is it that objects in motion tend to stay in? Y'all don't know that? Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. What does that mean? When a car starts rolling, what's it going to tend to do? Keep on rolling. Will that car automatically stop if a little child runs out in front of it? Because once something is in motion, the law of motion, Newton's first law says, it will stay unless the brakes are applied, unless something else happens. Little child runs out in front of a car. Natural laws say that car is going to keep moving. Somebody jumps out of a three-story window. What does the law of gravity say? That person's going to fall and likely fall to their death. Well, why would God let things like that happen? Should God suspend His natural laws in order to prevent those things? What if every once in a while God suspended the law of gravity and you're just walking around and all of a sudden you start floating and then, whoop, you're just right back down because at that moment God suspended the natural law of gravity. What if you're driving your car and God suspends the law of motion just for a few seconds? You got your seatbelt on? I hope you do, because it's going to be pretty ugly. There's just some natural laws that are a part of our the globe, the earth, the universe that God has created, and sometimes there's going to be storms that come as a result of it. Now, are you excited? Is that maybe a little bit depressing to talk about what causes these storms? Because you look at this and you say, what in the world? So what you're saying is these storms are going to come and there's nothing I can do to stop them. Well, they're not preventable. Now, some storms are obviously preventable and there's choices that we can make in order to help prevent them, but sometimes these storms are going to come. So let me finish this lesson very briefly by saying, why do we have these storms? Perhaps because of the benefits. Maybe we have storms in our life because there are some positive remedial effects that come as a result of them. Some of you have been woken up in the night. Some of you have sometime in the middle of your day experienced excruciating chest pain. The onset of a heart attack. What if you didn't have the chest pain to let you know it was coming? What if we didn't have pain? What if putting your hand on the stove didn't cause you any pain? Would that be a good thing? There are some elements of suffering, there are some elements that, well, I might not enjoy this at the moment, that may have some benefit to me. Let me just mention a few of these for your consideration, that when we deal with certain storms in our life, these storms, hopefully, are going to help us to learn. Two times in Philippians chapter 4, Paul used the word learn. Do you think Paul experienced any storms, by the way? Physically, he did. Literally, he did. Did he experience any storms in his personal life? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul, was there some benefit to these storms that you had? Yeah, I learned. There were some lessons of life that I needed to learn, and here he's talking about learning to be content. Maybe if I'm going through a storm, maybe I just need to say, hey, is there anything that I can learn from this, that I can take from this that can make me better? Number two, storms of life can help us to remember our human frailty. You think Job learned how frail life is? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. And then what did he say after that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we need to reflect on the fact that we're not intended to live forever. If no storm ever came, if no health problem ever came, maybe I'd think I'd be here forever. But when something comes, we remember, wait a minute, I'm not intended to be here forever. And there is a human frailty part of life. Number three, storms help us to focus and to turn to God. And in Psalm 56 and verse 3, psalmist says, "When I am afraid." You go through a storm of life, do you get afraid? What's going on here? Psalmist said, "When I am afraid," you know what else he says? "I put my trust in you." Maybe there's a storm of life that needs to help us to turn to God and to put our trust in Him. In Psalm 18 and verse 6, this is one of the Psalms we read this week as a part of growing in praise of God. He says, in my distress, David says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Listen to what he says. I was in distress. I was in a storm. And so what did he do? Cried upon God. Maybe sometimes in the midst of our storms, it's there to help us to turn to God. Number whatever we're on. Number four, storms help us to recognize true value of things. Maybe it helps us to see the real worth of certain things. Sometimes storms can bring families closer together than they have been before because of what they're experiencing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8, Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. I want you to listen to his contrast. Hard-pressed, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're being persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're being struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know why? Because we're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. The life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. What was Paul saying? I'm recognizing what's really important right now. I'm measuring my priorities right now. I'm seeing what is of real value right now. And that is that life and family and being together is really what is important. You all remember Christopher Reeve? How long ago did Christopher Reeve die? Has it been 5 or 6 years? What major role did Christopher Reeve make popular in the movies? Who was he? He's Superman. And so it was devastating. That's back in the day, y'all, when Superman was... Never mind. Okay, so here's Superman back in the 70s, Christopher Reeve. And so when he had that accident and he was paralyzed, did that just not rock you for a minute? It's like, wait a minute. That's Superman. How can you have an accident and be paralyzed from the neck down? But they say about Christopher Reeve that after he had that accident, he discovered a new zeal for life. Wait a minute. Seriously? You're paralyzed from the neck down. How? All of a sudden, it gave him a new view of what was really important in life. Maybe when we're in the midst of the storm, that's one of the benefits that can come to us. Will you hear this next one? What is this, number five? Storms help us to help others. Sometimes we go through a storm, and the only person we can see, the only person we can think about is ourselves. Did Jesus ever go through storms? Hebrews chapter 2 says that he was tempted by the devil. Jesus went through a storm. You know why Hebrews 2 and verse 15 says he was tempted? So that he could help us when we are tempted. But I want you to hear 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. The God of all comfort, what does He do? He comforts us in our tribulation. Listen to this. Why does God comfort us in our tribulation? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You get that? Here I am going through a storm of life, and what does God promise to do to me? He promises to comfort me. Why does this verse say He promises to comfort me? So that when somebody else is going through that same storm, I can go and be a source of comfort to them. Maybe that's why we go through those storms. Those of you who've been a part of this congregation for a number of years, remember the name of Mike and Nita Manis. That little child drowned. Devastating to the church. Remember one of the biggest supporters, one of the person that really meant a lot to Mike and Nita at that moment, one of the persons who came to their house and sat down and talked to them and wept with them and cried with them and talked with them was Bill Powell, who had also lost his son before that. You know, I think all of us feel like we can sympathize with others when they're going through a storm, meaning we can feel with them. But there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Where I can't just think I know what you're going through. I can put myself in your place because I have been there. Is there benefits to going through a storm? Maybe there's a benefit in years down the road when I can be a source of help and comfort to others. Those of you who are going through a storm, some of you have got on the internet and you become a part of certain support groups of individuals who have gone through this same thing before. And they're helping you to maintain. That's one of the benefits of going through storms. Number next, storms help us to be humble. What did Paul have? A thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times, "Lord, take this away." And God never took it away. And Paul said, maybe it's so I wouldn't become puffed up. Storms help us to be humble. Storms help us to build our faith and our character. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the trying of your faith is testing the genuineness of your faith and hopefully making it stronger. Storms help us to perfect our endurance level. What is that, number 8? Help us to perfect our endurance level. And that was the scripture reading tonight from Romans chapter 5, that it's interesting how Paul says that we rejoice. What are you talking about? We rejoice in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. Why? Because we know that tribulation produces perseverance, endurance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. We need to see that perhaps this storm that I am going through is molding me and shaping me and perfecting me and building me into a better Christian, a stronger Christian. It's what Cornelius said when he came forward, responded to the invitation this morning. Cornelius said, "My house burned down on Monday morning, but I'm stronger today as a result of it." Storms come in our life and they can tear us down or they can build us up. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5 it needs to do. But finally, storms can help us to long for heaven. What if you never had one single storm in your life? Let's just hang out here for a little bit longer. This is pretty good. Life on earth is grand. No problems here. Nothing bad's ever happened to me. Why would I want to go somewhere else? If I go somewhere else, it may not be as good as what I've got here. I'm just going to hang out here on earth because nothing bad has ever happened to me. Fortunately, nobody can say that. We've all had, and we all will have, storms in our life. And rather than let them destroy us and take our eyes off of God or make us shake our finger at God, may it make us long even more to be in heaven. Knowing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, that when I am absent from this body, then I'm going to get to be present with the Lord. And when I'm present with the Lord in heaven, there's no more storms of life. There's a lot more that can and probably should be said, and I'm sure there's a few things that I probably left out that needed to be in this. But storms are all around us. And I know that some of you are going through storms right now of life that you really wish you could pray them away and just say, "God, I need you to take this and get rid of it because I can't deal with it." And sometimes those storms will be taken away. And sometimes they won't. But yet we need to put our trust and our faith in God. In the statement that God says, "I will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you." And let us look for those benefits, as hard as they might be to find. Let us look for those benefits that might be there in those storms to help us to grow stronger in our faith and hopefully at some point, maybe in the future, prepare ourselves to help somebody else. Thank you all for your good attention tonight, and I hope that something in our study tonight has been beneficial to us. Question tonight is, do you have the God who has promised to help us through this? Psalm 46 says, "The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble." I love that verse. It doesn't say He's going to be our help. It says He is right now. Do you have Him as your God tonight? If you don't, would you make Him your God? Would you make Him your Lord? Would you make Him your Savior tonight? Believe Jesus is God's Son and repent of your sins. Confess the faith that's in your heart. And be baptized for the remission of every one of your sins, that you can be raised to walk in newness of life. That's not going to get rid of storms, but that's going to get God on your side. That's going to get Jesus on your side. Did Jesus ever do anything with storms? Jesus said to a storm, "Peace, be still." Can he do that in your life? Jesus, in the midst of the storm, was walking on water like there was nothing going on. Can he help you do that in life? Get Jesus on your side tonight. Serve him faithfully. If this church can help you, please come right now.